Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and money-making Manhattan. You're listening to Bashani Radio App, the number one independent app for podcast. Download for free for iPhone and Android at the App Store.
Welcome to the Marriage and More Podcast with your hosts, Sterling and Soretta Smith, where they talk about love, life, marriage, and a whole lot more.
Happy New Year!
Happy New Year!
Happy New Year! And welcome to Marriage and More with your host,
Sterling
and Soretta Smith. We are so excited that you tuned in to the show today. Again, Happy New Year. We are glad to be here. It's been a great beginning of the new year.
2022.
We are so excited about everything that God's going to do in 2022. It just happens to rhyme. It just flowed like that.
Okay. I hear you. Show you're right.
We want to encourage you to go download the Bashani Radio app so you can listen to the show while you're on the go. Or you can go to BashaniRadio.com and you can always tune in there. Or you can tune in to all the other places where our podcasts are available for you to listen to them. So, Mr. Smith, what's going on in the new year?
Same thing, but a better year to start it all off in.
Well, that's awesome. We had a really quiet, relaxed New Year's Day. We got up and ate, and I cooked. I cooked some neck bones. And
yeah, she took me back to the old country.
I'm a country girl. I can cook. And then we caught Spider-Man.
Yes, that was a very good movie.
Yeah, really good. The new Spider-Man movie, a lot of...
A little slow.
But it was still good, though. It has some very surprising things in it.
So yes, it does.
We won't give that away for any of our listeners who may not have already seen it, but highly encourage you to check it out. And then we kind of just chilled and relaxed.
Yes, just chilled.
Well, we always, it's our disclaimer that we are not licensed therapists or clinicians. We are sharing our 27 years of marriage, the experiences that we've had, the 2 years of dating, and, you know, how we were able to survive the ups, the downs, the highs and the lows, the good, the bad, the ugly and the pretty. To believe what we have is a successful and healthy marriage. And so that's really why we started this podcast, to kind of just share and help folks out. And so that's what we're here doing today. And today, Mr. Smith, we're going to talk about the marriage vows.
Yes, the marriage vows.
The marriage vows. You know, I believe that people are so in love with the idea of being in love and getting married. A lot of times they stand at the altar and they don't realize the seriousness, the sacredness of the marriage vows. And sometimes, you know, even though we mean well and we say these words, we really, really, really truly don't understand the depth of the vows and what we're saying and the commitment that we're making. So that's why I thought we should do a show today to kind of kick off the new year, talking about vows and, you know, what is a vow and what those marriage vows mean. And so you want to jump on into it?
Just like she was saying, a lot of times we as people, we will say things, but we're really not listening to what we're saying. Or I like to say, do you hear what you're saying? Because then if you hear it, it'll resonate with you and you'll try to live up to what you're actually saying and putting out to the atmosphere.
Yeah, because the vow is a solemn promise. It's a solemn pledge. It's a personal commitment. And for you and I being Christians, standing, you know, of those of the Christian faith, when we stand at that altar with the priest or the pastor or your spiritual leader, and you repeat these vows before your family and most importantly before God, we do it in our faith in the name of God in obedience to what God's word says about marriage. He that finds a wife finds a good thing, that you should leave your mother and your father and cleave to your wife and that the two will become one flesh. So it is a sacred spiritual union. And I think we just need to look at these vows today and walk through them and one by one and talk about the true important significance and depth of them. And even though, you know, you won't find these words written exactly in the Bible or these vows exactly written in the Bible, through the years, down through the years, they pull from the scriptures, you know, these words that give meaning and significance to the ordinance of marriage. And so let's dive in and let's take a look at the vows.
Okay. Let's get started.
All right. So typically, you know, on that wedding day, you stand there at the altar. There's a priest or a pastor, you know, whatever you're in your faith, that person that has the legal right to join two people together. And they start out with saying something like, I, you know, Soretta, in faith, honesty, and love, take you, Sterling, to be my wedded husband. Or if it were you, you would say,
I, Sterling Smith, in faith, honesty, and love, take you, Soretta, to be my wedded wife.
Right. And so that's how they start out. And then they say something like, to share with you God's plan for our lives together, united in Christ, and with God's help to strengthen and guide me, I will be a strong spiritual leader for us in our life. And then this is where it breaks down. It says, for better, for worse. So let's talk about that better and what that worse looks like. Because a lot of times people go into the marriage and they're in that better. They're in that place called better.
Yes.
Life is good.
Mm-hmm. All we see is the better.
Life is good. There's no problems. There's no challenges. Nothing in life that's throwing a curveball. Everything is just smooth sailing.
As the old people would say, you're smitten with love.
You're smitten with love. That's the better. And we all love the better. Don't get me wrong. We all want to be in the place where life is better. Every day life is getting better. You know, every year life is getting better.
That's that good groove.
Yeah, we want to be in that good groove. But sometimes things happen in life and there's that for worse, right? Maybe some, you know, adversity, some challenges, you know, things are happening, you know, disagreements, arguments.
Things happen that weren't foreseen or planned.
Say that again.
Things happen that weren't foreseen or planned.
Things happen that weren't foreseen or planned. Right. And so, or you're living together and you're starting to see habits or things about that person that you didn't see before. And you're like, oh my God, you know, this is
the badness.
This is gone from good to bad, you know. And so you're like, you know, I don't want to deal with this. But you say, when you stand and take that vow, you say for better or for worse. And so we talk about the value of communication, understanding, compassion, and we're going to read a scripture that's going to talk about all of that. So it's for better and it's for worse.
Yes.
Yeah. And the old folks used to sing a song that said, trouble don't last always. So the worst won't last always. You just got to navigate through it and stick together through it till you get back in that place of better.
Yes, you got to be willing to work together from the bad and take you back to the good.
Amen. All right. This one, in sickness and in health. In sickness and in health. And we know that, you know, we speak words of faith. We believe God's word. We stand on God's word. So someone would be saying, but you're a Christian. So why would you say for better or for worse? Why would you say in sickness and in health? Well, I also understand that we're in the world. We're not of the world. And we will be challenged and tested and faced with things of life here in this world.
Say it again.
We will be challenged and tested with the things of this world.
Life.
You said with life. Yeah.
It's just living a normal life.
Right.
These things happen in life.
Right. And so in sickness, I want to park there because I have friends, acquaintances, or I have friends that have friends who have been diagnosed with cancer or some other type of sickness or disease. And in the midst of them going through this diagnosis, their spouse, their husband walked out and left. And it's a tragedy because in those moments, you know, you're counting and depending on, you maybe have just gotten this news, you know, you're afraid, you have anxiety, and the one person that you're depending on who made that vow to be there with you walks out on you. And I know that you can't speak for any man and say what they may have been going through or why they may have walked out. But just in general, I think when women are faced with a situation like that where their spouse is sick, we're there. You know, we you know, our those maternal instincts kick in. We're there. We're by their side. We're by your side. You know, we don't typically walk away or run away. I think you hear more stories about it happening with men than you do women. So is it that, you know, the man is afraid? You know, he allows fear to overtake him. He doesn't know what to do. He doesn't know how to handle it. Can you kind of, you know, maybe give myself and the listeners your thoughts on when it comes to the sickness part?
It's a combination of both, of fear and of the unknown. We as men, we always see ourselves as being strong, healthy, the guide. But then when we get the adversity of our wife getting sick, we don't know what to do because we ourselves have probably never been sick to that magnitude. Or we, as when we were kids, our mom would always come forth and take care of us. Mm. So we don't know what to do. We don't have the answer to that. So we're like, okay, what do I do? What do I do? And some men will choose to just flee.
It's easier to just walk away than to be in a panic and not really know what to do.
To step up to the plate and take the challenge.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Wow. Well,
or caring for your significant other.
Yeah. And I don't think it's that they don't love them, but they just generally, like, I believe what you just said, they panic, they're afraid. You know, this isn't a situation that they've been in. I'm not making excuses. If there's any ladies listening, I'm certainly not making excuses. I'm trying to understand, but I also want to make sure that we point out, when you make this vow, you make this vow that in sickness, because sickness can happen. I got sick before. I was in the hospital. I was deathly ill. The doctor came in and she expressed to me, I got up out of the bed to go use the restroom. And she expressed to me that, you know, there must be some prayers going forward for you or something, because based on your lab results, you aren't even supposed to be able to get up out of the bed and do what you just did. You know, I was deathly ill. And so what was that like for you? Like seeing me, you know, I thought I was checking out. I had told them, you know, this is what I want, because I had to have emergency surgery. I had internal bleeding. It was a lot of things going on. So what was that like for you as my husband, as a man, seeing me in that situation?
I mean, it was very challenging. It was hard. It was rough. And listening to the doctors come in saying different things, not knowing what they're really saying, but watching my wife go through pain. And all I could do was just pray. Mm. Pray and depend on God to fix this thing.
Yeah. Yeah. That was a really trying time. My mom was here. And I spent 10 or more days in the hospital back and forth. But God, he brought us through it. He delivered it. It really increased my faith, and it really strengthened me. And so, but the point is that, you know, you were there. And I know it had to be difficult, but you were there. And so in health, so not in just sickness, but in health. So, you know, even when your spouse is healthy and strong and things are going good, you know, we're supposed to be there too, but we have to make sure that, you know, even if something happens, like that, where there is a diagnosis or there is an emergency or there is a car accident or something happens, that we remember the vow that we made to be there beside our spouse.
Yes, in the health part, just checking on them.
Yeah, good stuff.
Good things.
All right, in joys and in sorrows, in joys. So some joys would be something like we just had a grandbaby.
Grandbaby.
Yeah, that's a great joy. So we're here together. We're enjoying that grandbaby. Our son graduating from college. We had another son that he went to basic training. He joined the Army. He graduated from basic. What's some more joys that we have celebrated together? You graduated from college.
Birthdays.
Yeah. So
anniversaries.
And then there's the sorrows. There will be times when we will be faced with sorrows. It could be the death of a loved one, a parent. A sibling, you know, we've dealt with that. You've lost some siblings. It could be the death of a child. I've, you know, have friends that have lost a child, and, you know, they talked about how challenging the marriage was after the loss of that child. And I've watched them weather it and make it through, and they're still together to this day. But they talked about how challenging it was, but they remembered that vow that they made. And it takes that one spouse, that unconditional love, that being patient and being kind and being understanding. And so all of those things are a part of the marriage vows. Something you want to add into that?
Yes, like she was speaking about the death. The person has to be willing to go the extra mile. Someone has to work within that union,
yeah,
to say, hey, We can't quit on this.
Mm.
We have to stay together because we need each other to get through this.
Hey, that's good. That's good stuff. And then this one's a good one right here. For richer or poorer.
I don't see anybody's poor.
Now, you know, but the Bible says the poor are going to be with you always. Now, certainly, you know.
No, let me take that back. I don't see any poor on us.
Okay, there you go. There you go. We decree and declare we're millionaires, okay? So, but, you know, a lot of times, sometimes people do get married out of for money.
Yes.
For materialistic reasons, right? And certainly it's not going to last long, because the minute the money runs out and dries up, the love runs out and dries up. But we're talking about, you know, when you get married, and sometimes, especially when you're young and you get married, you're in the grind together. You come up together out of the grind.
You're poor together.
Yeah, you eating them ramen noodles together in college and and all that good stuff. But you come up in the grind together. You build this life together, and life is good. And then something may happen. A company may shut down. It may lay off all of its workers. Major medical crisis, and it can cause those finances to change
drastically and quickly
overnight, you know. And so what are you going to do? Are you going to now say, well, you know what? We can't live this lifestyle and this status that we had. The money's run out. The money's dried out. So I'm going to check out.
My mind is, if something like this was to happen, we built this thing together once, and we can do it again.
Come on, say that thing. Say it again.
We built this thing once, and we can build it again.
Okay. If God did it before, I think that's Ty Tribbett. He did it before. He can do it again. Same God right now. Same God back then. I think that's Ty Tribbett. But that's the kind of faith and those vows. That's what that means for richer or for poor.
Now, have it in God, and you got to have it in each other.
You got to have it in God, and you got to have it in each other. And then the last part of that vow says, "Until death do we part." And so that's how serious these vows are. That's how serious the marriage vows are. That these vows are meant to last a lifetime until one or the other departs this earth. But I do want to say this, because I don't want anybody to think, when we say to death do us part, you know, there you may, and we talked about this, what God has joined together, let no man put asunder. That's one of the scriptures that we're going to talk about. And I want to reference that by saying what God has put together. And so some marriages, God, you know, has not put together. God wasn't in it. I've even had people tell me, you know, I knew I wasn't supposed to marry that person. I know I wasn't supposed to be with that person, but I was disobedient and I did it anyway. And they ended up, you know, in a disaster. And so if you find yourself in a situation where it's really not a marriage that God has put together, and especially if you find yourself in a situation where there's abuse, whether it's physical, emotional, or verbal abuse, or if there's adultery, you know, that constant cheating, that's not the life that God, you know, or the marriage that God has for you. And we're not telling anybody that you stay in that type of situation till death do you part.
Yes, those toxic situations, you got to get up out of them.
Yeah, we're not telling anybody that you stay in those situations till death do us part, because especially in domestic violence, we know a lot of people have stayed thinking that I took these vows and I'm supposed to stay in this, and it literally cost them their life. We're talking about situations where there aren't those types of things going on. Marriages where it's just, you know, differences of opinions, where pride may be the problem, where you got to always be right and she has to always be right. And, you know, you may be fussing and arguing about finances and things that are really minute. And rather than, you know, deal with yourself and look and take an inward look in yourself and recognize how you're contributing to these things that's going on, you just disregard your vows and you call it quits.
Yes, just everyday challenges in life that we experience, that we should be able to go through together and come up with a plan to better ourselves coming out on the distant end.
Absolutely. So I want us to just look at a few scriptures here that, you know, you can refer back to these scriptures. You can read these scriptures for encouragement or just to remind you of the vows and what God's word says concerning marriage. And I really like this one, Sterling. It's in Ephesians 4:32. And this is the American Standard Version. It says, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. And in marriage, you know, this is so important. Be kind to one another. And I like to say, you know, and look, total transparency, you know, this was an area for me that I had to work on because words hurt. And I believe that if you can't say anything kind, then you shouldn't say anything at all.
Keep it to yourself.
Because once those words are out there,
they're out there.
You can't take them back. You can apologize and say you're sorry. But depending on your spouse, you know, it may not just be an I'm sorry and they're over it. It may take time for them to, especially depending on what you said. So you got to always remember to be kind to one another. And if that means you have to remove yourself and say, hey, look, I can't talk right now, give me a minute, because you don't want to say something
that you will regret later,
that you're going to regret later. Tenderhearted, you know, tenderhearted, understanding, you know, understanding when your spouse may be going through something and they need your support and your understanding, and not nagging or complaining or, you know, just nitpicking, but being tenderhearted. Forgiving is big.
Yes, it
is. But forgiving one another, because I can tell you now, you know, you're going to say there's going to be some stuff said and done, you know, maybe not on purpose, but you have to learn to forgive one another. And one of the things I was very guilty of is, you know, I may bring up something that happened 2 years ago or 5 years ago. You know, you keep bringing the past up. So have you really forgiven someone when you keep bringing the past up and throwing the past in their face? You know, have you really forgiven?
No, you're trying to put it out your mind, but you try to put it to the back of your mind. But once you get in a situation, it comes right back to the front because you haven't forgotten about it.
Yeah. So we have to remember that, you know, Christ was kind to us. He's tenderhearted. He's forgiving. He loves us. And so we got to have that same love. You know, we got to build those compassionate and loving marriages, forgiving each other, because, you know, God loved us so much that he sent his only son to be a sacrifice for us. I like Colossians 3 and 14. It says, and above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfectness. So you got to have that unconditional love.
I always think back to the song, the line, I think it said, love will find a way.
Love will find a way. That perfect love, it will always find a way. And, you know, I like the scripture where it says, Ephesians 4 and 2, be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. You know, you have to learn how to be humble and be gentle and be patient and bearing with one another in love. And it's not, and you know what, I'm going to say this because this brings me to, I hear this all the time. This may not go over well with the ladies, but I think it warrants saying, because this scripture, it says, be completely humble and gentle, be patient, bearing with one another in love. And I hear this statement all the time. Happy life,
happy wife.
Happy wife. And so to me, it's kind of one-sided, because does that mean the husband doesn't have a happy? It kind of implies that you let your wife do whatever she wants to do and get away with whatever she wants to get away with. And as long as you let her have her way, then your life will be good.
It should be happy spouse, happy house.
Happy. Okay. Okay. Because spouse is man, the husband or the wife. It's neutral in gender. I like that. Say that again, Mr. Smith.
Happy spouse, happy house.
Happy spouse, happy house. So that's that part about bearing with one another in love, right?
Yes.
That means the compromise.
Yes, that, there it is.
Right. That's just not compromise. One person having their way in order for the house to be a happy place to live. Yeah. So that's kind of controversial to me. It took me a while to kind of get that, because, you know, you say happy wife, happy life, happy wife, happy life. But I'm kind of rethinking that. And I know that's not going to go over well with the ladies, but I like what Mr. Smith said. Happy spouse, happy house. Because the man should be happy too, right?
Yeah, we want peace.
They want peace too, all right? All right, let's look for another one. I like this one, Ephesians 5 and 28. You read that one. Read that one, Ephesians 5 and 28.
Even so, ought husbands also to love their own wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his own wife loveth himself.
Right. So as much as you love yourself, that's how much you should love me.
Yeah. As much attention that you pour into yourself, you need to pour double times that amount into your wife.
Absolutely. And vice versa. You know, this thing, you know, it says a husband must love his wife as much as he loves himself.
You have to.
And if you love yourself, you're not going to harm yourself.
No, you're not going to do any harm.
You're not going to hurt yourself. You're going to take good care of yourself.
So all those things you're talking about doing to yourself, you need to do that to your spouse.
Say that again. Say it loud.
All those great things that you talk about doing to yourself as a husband, you should do that to your wife and more.
All right. And this is another one of my favorites, Ephesians 5 and 31. It says, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. And that means that when you marry, you become one. And let nobody should come between you and your spouse. When you get married, you become one. Proverbs 31 and 10, it says, who can find a worthy woman? For her price is far above rubies. And this just talks about the wife, you know, being virtuous, loving, and faithful. And when you find a woman that's virtuous and loving and faithful, then you have a treasure. And you should recognize that treasure and treat her as a treasure. Treat her as a treasure. This is in Mark 10:6-9. And it says, again, for this cause, a man shall leave his father and mother and will join to his wife, and the two will become one flesh, so that they are no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together. We talked about that, making sure that God is the one that's joining you and this person, that you are going to stand before God and those witnesses and take those vows. But therefore, what God has joined together, let no man separate. So marriage under God decrees that you're one.
Yes, you have to remember that the new word is we.
Right.
We.
Right.
We. When you start saying me or my, you're going to have some problems.
Yeah.
Problems are foreseen or coming down the road.
Because everything from that point, when you say I do, when you take those vows, you have to always remember that it's not just you that's going to be affected and impacted by the decisions that you make. You have a spouse now. And then when you bring children into the mix, you have to remember that, you know, now you have this family, wife, you know, now you have, you know, this family and this household. And so you may have to cut back on your spending habits. You may have to cut back on, you know, some of the activities and things that you may have been used to doing, because now you have a husband and vice versa. Now you have a wife. And so you have to remember that you are one now, and what you do, it impacts and affects the other.
Yes, you must take care of each other.
Absolutely. Well, I think those were most of the scriptures that I just wanted to hit and talk about. You know, there's so much that God has to say in his word about marriage. You know, we always talk about, you know, marriage is an honorable thing. He that finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. You know, there's even a scripture that talks about, you know, when the husband is not in good standing with the wife, you know, he can hinder his blessings from God. And so, you know, it talks about wives submitting to husbands and husbands submitting to wives. So there's so much in the scriptures about marriage. Marriage is sacred before God. You know, God honors it. And when you honor those vows, when we honor these marriage vows, God honors our marriage. And he will see us through the difficult times. He will see us through the challenges that come, because he knows that life is going to present challenges. But when we honor the vows, when we honor the sanctity of marriage, then God honors us and he equips us and gives us the strength and the ability to navigate through whatever may come our way. What you think?
Yes, everything she said. It wasn't a yes or no question, but yes. That's it. God put you together for a reason. If you keep God in the marriage, the sky is the limit. You can go anywhere.
The sky's the limit. So, hey, let's just pray for those couples who may be getting ready to get married. We pray that as you begin to prepare to enter into this union, that you will sit down and really study these vows and look at these vows and what they truly mean and realize what you're about to undertake. And we pray for couples that are married, that may be having challenges, that may be facing situations right now where they're questioning, did I do the right thing? You know, is this really what I want? Is this, you know, are we going to make it? Go back and look at the marriage vows and sit down together and pray together and repeat those marriage vows and recite to one another what that means and what that meant the day that you said it before God and all of those witnesses, and watch God step in and breathe on that marriage and refresh it and revive it and renew it and restore it, because he honors marriage and those vows mean so much to him. And obviously they meant something to you because you stood at that altar and you pledged your solemn promise and pledge and your personal commitment to your spouse. Anything you want to say as we're heading out?
Commitment.
Commitment
is the key word, commitment. You commitment. Have to be committed to each other, committed to the relationship, and committed to going forward always.
All right. Well, listen, as always, we thank you guys for tuning in. We ask that you just stay around after the show for a few announcements on how you can follow us. We have a new link on our page. If you'd like to be a guest on the show, or if you know somebody that you think would really be good for the show, have them go to the BashaniRadio.com page, click on the link. They can fill out the link there with their information. And if we think it's a good fit for the show, we'll certainly reach out to them and have them on the show. We pray that you have a blessed rest of the week. And as always, our marriage mantra is, the more you put in your marriage,
the more you'll get out of it.
Till next time, you guys take care. Bye-bye.
Peace.
Thank you for tuning in to the Marriage and More podcast with Sterling and Soretta Smith. Follow Sterling and Soretta on Instagram and Facebook at Marriage and More with Sterling and Soretta.
Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and money-making Manhattan. You're listening to Bashani Radio App, the number one independent app for podcasts. Download for free for iPhone and Android at the App Store.